to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And from this location, I bid you an end-time hello, and I welcome you to another session where we will examine the situation. Because, my friends, the land is in a situation. And in this case, the term land means many places. And today as I speak, it is facing many calamities that are going to result in rising smoke. There are events that are approaching. And over the last few weeks, we have been talking about the Olympic ceremony. It was not a benign event. What transpired at the Olympic ceremony was a very profound event, a pivotal event. And get this, folks, this world has been invoked to enter a new phase. In the invisible realm, this world has gone past a new marker in the history of time. And based on biblical history, when a divine event happens over a people and over a land, very few of them are ever prepared. Many people will not know what hit them. They will not know because they never saw it coming. So what about you, my friend? Please be warned. Everyone is going to have a ticket to the upcoming show. And when it happens, I hope that you will be prepared. And I hope that all of you listening have their hearts in the right place with God. Now, folks, I know that over the past several weeks and over the past several sessions, we have been talking about some very heavy things, some very serious matters. And I know that these things are not easy to think about. I know that these things are not easy to consider, and these things are not easy to process. I am aware of that, folks, because I am met with the same challenge of having to look at this thing. The last book in the Bible is the book of Revelation. And that book is the revelation of the things that will come upon the earth in the end of time. And Jesus gave us the courtesy to give us a glimpse of what those things would be. And he did it because he loves us. So at the very end of time, the wise ones will need to get a hold of the truth of what's happening around them. They will have to have their eyes open to the events. And in order to overcome, God's people are going to need to see past the blinders of the world. They're going to need to be able to hear past the lies of the world. So that's what we're doing on these programs. We have been examining the Olympic ceremony in light of the end times. And we have been decoding the cryptic message that they sent to the world. We have been uncovering the ritual that they conducted in the world. And those among God's people and the wise ones are going to be ready for what they plan to do to the world. For what they plan to do to God's people. The enemy has a plan, ladies and gentlemen. And while we do not need to know about every single detail of the plan, we can know the generalities of the plan. It is smart and wise to know about the schemes. Folks, these things are going to affect all of us. And unfortunately, these things are going to infect most people. And that's one of our bold challenges, not to become infected with their plague of lying deception. Now, as we have been dissecting the Olympic ceremony, this whole dark ritual that took place on July the 27th of 2012, as we have been opening the compartments of this thing, it appears some of the invocations that they did are going to affect the future. And today, I'm going to share about a topic that is concerning to all of us right now. Not just in the United States of America, but everyone. Now, ladies and gentlemen, by the time I finish this message, I hope that I am able to communicate the strong concern that I have in my spirit over what's going on in this world, because some very, very pivotal events are happening. I'm talking about world events, diplomatic failures that are occurring in nation after nation right now. I would say that out of the life of this ministry, the events that are happening right now in the world are going to play a role in affecting the history of this planet. This is how serious it is. So please take this message to heart. Please take it very seriously, and please share it with everyone that you know. Now, some of the things that I'm going to share on this program are going to be very hard-hitting. Some people may find them shocking and almost unbelievable. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the things I'm going to share are true. because of where we are in the timeline of end time events and in the events of judgment that is happening worldwide and in America, because of where we are right now, there are so many objects that could be tipping points. And if we were able to divide these events into different categories, we would have many of them. These things are all happening at the same time. In earth changes, we have this incredible drought, and that thing is going to affect food prices in the coming months. And then when we look at the very earth itself, the land is groaning. The land is mourning. And Jesus told us that there would be earthquakes in diverse places. And lo and behold, folks, that's what we're seeing right now. And on top of that, we have volcanoes that are erupting. They're starting to awaken. And then when we look at the political arena, when we consider the election that is just weeks away, is Obama going to win? Is Romney going to win? What are the ramifications of Obama winning? That one does not look good, folks. And if Romney wins, that one also does not look good. Obama's going to bring tyranny and loss of freedom, and Romney's going to bring war and destruction. And if the gangsters in Las Vegas were placing bets on this one, it wouldn't really matter because both sides are poisonous. And then when we look at the Middle East, this thing's a powder keg. Whenever mankind experiences historical and pivotal events that involve actual war and destruction and the downfall of regimes, many, many times there are events happening behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. And when we look at the book of Revelation, this is exactly what we see. We see in heaven the angels doing certain things with bowls and trumpets and vials, and then the events are transpiring on earth with great destruction. And this is not only seen in Revelation, it's seen in many other parts of Scripture. And being that most of us can agree that we're in the end times, I submit this to you, folks. There are events happening behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, in the realm of God, Yahweh, and in the realm of the enemy, Satan, the devil, the principalities and powers. Paul tells us in Ephesians that those principalities are out there. And during the Olympic ceremony, the principalities of this world were summoned and they were invoked and they were initiated to go forth throughout the world and do certain things. And on this program, I'm going to talk about a portion of their ritual that is affecting the world right now. Because folks, as this thing gets going, it's going to hit the world hard and it's going to place the world into a new season of inclement weather and of darkness. And because of what I am observing in the landscape, I am trying my best to get situated and also prepared to continue sharing with you what's going on. You know, folks, in a month from now, we could be looking at a different world. Or 2 months from now, or by the end of the year, or in the first quarter of next year. I don't know the exact timeline. I just know these things are coming. And by then, we could be in the middle of a war. The internet could be down. The nation could be facing blackouts or rolling blackouts. Parts of the power grid could be down. I believe that we could be looking at game on very, very soon. So because of that reality, I'm trying my best to get situated to continue this ministry and to continue to share the messages that God has given me and to share the warnings from my vantage point up on the wall. At this point, for me, Nathan Liao, and for my family and for Watchman's Cry, we plan to weather this storm here in the United States of America. I plan to ride this storm out with all of you, folks. So I ask that you continue to pray for me and for the protection of my family, and pray that God's will be done with Watchman's Cry. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I want to be able to situate myself to use alternative methods, to use alternative means that I have been examining to continue bringing these programs to you. And I cannot go into detail on all the different methods that I'm examining, but if I do have to resort to some of the other methods, then it's going to take an investment of some readjustment and time and also funds. So if you believe in this ministry and you appreciate what we're doing, we appreciate your support. And for those of you that have been faithful supporters in the past, I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Your support helps this ministry to continue. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. I've received a few emails from some of you that are listening that are saying that you appreciate this series that we're doing right now because it's really revealing a lot of things and helping you to understand things from a different point of view. But you also miss the meat in due season sermons. Now, Brethren, I miss them also, and I plan to follow up this long series with encouraging and challenging sermons to prepare all of us for the things that lie ahead. So here's my question. Should I keep going with this series? I still have so much to share, and I can continue for a few more episodes if you're able to weather it. In fact, as I have been examining this whole matter of the Olympic ceremony, we had the opening ceremony that occurred on July 27th, and then we had the closing ceremony. That would probably be 1 to 3 messages. And then a few weeks later, the world also participated in the Paralympics. Now, the Paralympics are an Olympic gathering for injured athletes that use prosthetic devices to run, etc. During the Paralympics that occurred in the same location of London, they used a stadium. They had an opening ceremony, a closing ceremony, and it was very similar to the regular Olympics, but they also did some ritualistic incantations. And if we were to examine those sessions, that could also be 1 or 2 other programs. So, in conclusion, there are many more things I need to share, and it may take probably 5 to 6 to 7 more programs. But I just want to know from you, are you getting anything out of these? Are they helping to challenge you? Are they helping to open your eyes? So please send me an email because I want to hear from you. I want to hear your comment. Now, the downside of this is we're studying some of the schemes and plans of the enemy for the end times. And as a result, sometimes it can be a little bit of a downer. It can be negative. And folks, I agree with that. It can be. But as Christians, we need to know these things so that as the world lapses into its coma of darkness and we see their symbolism, we'll know what they're thinking and we'll know that it's a deception. And then we will have the tools to reveal these truths to others that may not know. So by studying these things, that's the benefit. So again, folks, give me your thoughts. And after this series is accomplished, we're going to focus on vigilance and gaining strength and knowledge to face the evil. I felt that I needed to share this with you so that you can know what's going on here at Watchman's Cry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started. There's a lot of things that I want to share. Please get your Bible, get your notepad, your pen, and take a lot of notes because some of the things I'm going to share, they're going to have a bizarre shock value to them. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that they are indeed the truth. It's going to take strategy, folks, spiritual wise strategy, for us to endure the things that are coming. You know, folks, I know that the American lifestyle for most of us has been fairly easy. Most of us are not accustomed to living our lives in a third world manner. We're not used to having to struggle finding our water, finding food, getting along with others, being aware of bad people, pirates, bandits, thieves. Most of us don't have to worry about security where we live. Most of us do not look at the daily errands that we undertake as being life or death threatening situations where the journey is going to be very volatile. Most of us don't think that way. But there are people in other parts of the world that live that way every day. And they're used to struggling to get their food and to watch over their families. And a lot of them have stronger conditioning when it comes to the shock value of our mortality. They understand that people die. A lot of people in other parts of the world see death way more regularly than we do. People from previous generations, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the early settlers, they understood what it meant to live in a life or death situation. They understood what it meant to work hard to survive, to be prepared. They thought differently than a lot of us think now in the West. For the most part, most people in the West have a very apathetic and complacent way of thinking. And it's because of that culture that we've grown up in that we have to learn to think differently. We have to make adjustments so that we can endure. And folks, as the future becomes darker, the shock and awe that the world is going to be experiencing, including the West, including those of us in the United States and Canada, Australia, those of us that are accustomed to first world living, the shock and awe is going to really make a huge impact on people's lives. And there's going to be a lot of people that will not be able to handle it. They're going to succumb to madness. They're going to succumb to giving up. They're going to succumb to throwing up their arms and surrendering to the New World Order. And we read in the Bible that it says those that didn't take the mark had to do so at the expense of their lives. They did not love their lives even unto death. As Americans, can we think that way? You mean if I don't apply for this social ration card to feed my children and to gain medical attention for my children and my family, you're telling me if I don't do this, I'm going to be arrested? I'm going to be detained? I'm going to be incarcerated? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Uncle Sam? You see, folks, how many individuals are willing to ask that question and then decide that, wow, to reject whatever the mark of the beast is going to be eventually? And the reason I'm doing that, by the way, side note, because it seems that Obamacare has built-in rules and requirements that are very strict that make it non-negotiable for every citizen. And those that do not cooperate are going to find themselves meeting some very stiff penalties. At the moment, the penalties may be punitive, maybe a financial penalty, maybe a citation of higher taxes. But as the New World Order evolves in strength, we're going to see compassion and mercy depleted from the rule of law. We're going to see the iron fist of tyranny get stronger. And we're going to see the New World Order become the tyrannical blacksmith that will place chains on the individuals that are resistant. And then finally, according to the scriptures, we're going to see the New World Order end time beast threaten those that do not participate in their grand social scheme with capital punishment. To the death with those that do not comply. To the death to those that do not approve of the new social order. Take them away. Off with their heads. Throw them into the dungeon. I'm getting ahead of myself as far as how dark it's going to get, but eventually we're going to see that, folks. So if we live to see that day, as Christians, what are we going to decide to do? I believe according to scripture, it's prophesied, folks, a lot of Christians will take off their banner of love. They will take off the armor of God. They will take off their helmet of salvation and lay it at the feet of the New World Order and say, please don't hurt me. I'll do whatever you say. Just give me food. It's going to happen, folks. But those that endure to the end are the ones that are going to be saved. Those that love their lives too much are not going to be saved. I'm talking about this because we have to process this whole scenario. We have to make the decision now. No matter how scary the tsunami appears, no matter how menacing the threat sounds and appears on the TV screen, it doesn't matter, folks. We're the children of God. We are those that are part of the bride. We are those that have made the decision that we will confess that Jesus is Lord, that we will resist the threats of the New World Order. And it doesn't matter because we know that there is a new life awaiting. And my friends, being able to say that I believe in heaven and I'm going to live for God in 1980 is going to be a lot different than it will be in the coming years. Because in the coming years, saying that I am going to live for God may be met with the threat of the loss of life. And how many individuals from 1980 had a proclamation of faith that was never deeply rooted in their spirit and in their soul and in their heart? How many of the Christians 10 years ago just did lip service and they walked into the sanctuary regularly on Sunday out of habit? But as they walked into the sanctuary, they knew that their heart really wasn't in it. How many individuals today, out of the millions of people that attend mega churches, those big box churches that make Christianity sound like a social club of happiness and easy blessings, how many of the individuals today could stare down the barrel of a New World Order gun and say, go ahead, I know him who I believe in. I know him. I know that I know that I know. And it doesn't matter what happens, it's okay. And you can even threaten my family. They know also. My wife knows. My children know. Yes, you're scary. Yes, your appearance is intimidating. Yes, I actually find myself scared right now because I've never done this before. I've never died before. I've never faced a firing squad. But it's okay because I know where I'm going and my children know where they're going. So do what you will. You see, folks, this is where we are now. Amazing. 10 years ago, how many of us actually considered in 2002 that in 10 years, we're actually going to be seeing the fruition of the New World Order as they announce themselves to the world? How many of us thought about it? And how many of us thought about the ramifications? Will we be ready? 10 years ago, most people that were Christians probably said, I know I'm not ready now, but by then I plan to be. And if you were to ask them, what do you plan to do different to get there? Most of them would probably admit, well, there are things in my life I have to stop doing. There are some habits I have to forsake. There are some social activities that I need to stop. So if I have 10 years, that's okay because I'll stop by then. Well, guess what, folks? Here we are. It's been 10 years. And all of us are going to be facing some very important decisions very soon. So my question to you, my listening friend, is how committed are you to this thing? Because your spirit either tells you right now, Nathan is telling me the truth. I know that there's a lot of homework that I need to do. I know that there are things that I've been putting off and ignoring and procrastinating. Folks, we're here. The time is now. That's what this program's about. The Olympic ceremony announced that the new age of the New World Order, the new era of Aquarius, that they have been desiring eagerly, it's now upon us. Nathan, do you really, really think that this is true? Do you really think that this New World Order is now here? Well, folks, I can find no other alternative conclusion. They made it obvious. Now, I need to qualify. I am not saying that the Book of Revelation is starting right now or that it's going to start in the next few weeks or months. That part, I don't know. What I am saying is that beast that's going to rise up out of the sea in Revelation 13, it's alive. It's a little baby right now, but it's going to grow up. And then it's going to have a very hearty appetite. And his appetite is going to be the lives of men. One very pivotal question would be, how quick does this baby grow up? And what does it feed on now? And those are the things that we need to be seeking to find out. But it's here, folks. So now I want to talk about how the ceremony opens. And the ceremony started by the ringing of a bell. Those of you that know the background of this story, Mr. Danny Boyle commissioned a bell that he said was the largest harmonically tuned bell in the world. It weighed 27 tons. So what role does the bell play? Is it just some pretty sound that should be used to start this grand ceremony? Is that all it was? Was it a benign thing? I don't think so, folks. Because bells, when they are made in a very large manner, for example, church bells or bells that are used in temples, both Christian and Eastern religion, they can be made to be tuned to a certain key, to certain notes, to certain frequencies. Bells can be tuned to actually sound out 7 different notes. For example, if a bell is tuned to the key of E, when the bell is first struck, the strike note will be an E and it will be the hum note. But then after that, the minor third in the E chord will begin to sound and vibrate. And then the fifth note will begin to vibrate. And then an octave of the original E will sound. And then a major third. And then a perfect fifth in the second octave. So a bell can be made to have certain frequencies and certain sounds. So when Danny Boyle stated that at the Olympics he's going to have the largest harmonically tuned bell, one has to wonder, is there a purpose for the frequency? When the bell was rung at the Olympics at the very beginning, was the frequency of the bell meant to do something? And that's where it gets interesting that Mr. Martin Creed, as I mentioned earlier, was able to convince the nation of Britain to all ring their bells that morning at 8:12 for 3 minutes. And then we have Mr. Danny Boyle ringing the big bell, the 27-ton bell, the large bell. What does it mean? Well, as I began to dig into this rabbit hole, it raised my concern because when the bell is rung, is something in the spirit world going to happen? Is there some sort of recipe that they know that they're doing that when they ring the bell, it's going to do something to the world of the spirits, to the principalities of the air? Is that bell going to do something to summon evil spirits? And folks, I believe that that's exactly what happened. And also, here's where it gets even more disturbing. If that bell was used to summon evil spirits, then what happens to the individuals that were present at that ritual? What happens to the individuals that witnessed it? What sort of contamination were they exposed to spiritually? And folks, I submit to you that I believe that something very, very dark and sinister and powerful occurred when that bell was rung. Nathan, are you serious? Yes, I am. And here's why. As I was trying to uncover and make sense of this whole thing, I was wondering, do the members of the occult and the individuals who practice Eastern mysticism and the dark arts, are bells an important part of rituals? One of the things that I discovered was part of the ritual of a satanic service is they start out with a bell. They ring a bell at the beginning and at the end. And then they do their ritual. The bell is very important to the Satanists. Same thing with the Wiccans. Same thing with witches. They ring bells. And as I started digging further and further, I was wondering, well, why? What happens when a bell is rung, and does it have to be a certain kind of bell? So as I continued to research, what I found out was, I was thinking to myself, okay, Mr. Danny Boyle said the biggest harmonically tuned bell. So I was wondering, is that a key word right there? Harmonically tuned. And lo and behold, folks, it appears that all of these pagan groups use the terminology of being in tune with the inner energy that is inside of them. And they call it chakras. Now, folks, I want to say this. If any of you find yourself curious about what I'm sharing and you tell yourself that you want to examine this information further, I want to caution you, be very, very careful if you go on the internet and read about these things, because, folks, it is very dark. So be sure that you are covered with the armor of God if you feel led to do this. If you do not, please don't. Now, I do have to explain and talk about these chakras, because the term chakra is C-H-A-K-R-A, chakra. And that term chakra is used by Satanists, witches, Wiccans, those of the Hindu religions, those that practice transcendental meditation. They all know about this thing called the chakra. Now, you see, folks, as Christians, we are well aware, because the Bible tells us so in Thessalonians, that we are tripartite beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. Our body is the temple, it's the flesh, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and the spirit is the life that God has given us. The spirit is the area where Jesus lives. The spirit is the part of us that worships God. The spirit within us is the part that Jesus fills with his living water and his anointing and his presence. And as Christians, it's very simple. We get saved, the Holy Spirit seals us, as Ephesians chapter 1 tells us. We are sealed with an earnest deposit. So his spirit, his Holy Ghost, comes to live within us. As we read the scriptures and pray, the Holy Spirit that lives within us will prompt us and teach us and share things with us. When we make the wrong choices, or when we're tempted to make the wrong choices, the Holy Spirit will tell us not to do it. He'll warn us. When we find ourselves oppressed and downcast and worried and fearful, the Holy Spirit is able to give us peace. He's able to bring rest to our souls. He's able to take away the depression. It's very simple, folks. And God gives the peace and the rest and the goodness of his presence to us freely. It's available for all of us without cost. And we do not have to do some fancy ritual. We don't have to light candles. We don't have to ring a bell. None of that, folks. We just have to seek God. Come into his presence humbly. That's it. Christianity is easy. But Satan, on the other hand, he's a hard taskmaster, because he's a liar and he's full of himself, and he desires to make his followers yoked with bondage of ritual and rules and religion. And Satan does not want his followers knowing that all they need to do, if they are downcast and sad and discouraged, he doesn't want them knowing all they have to do is come to God, come to Jesus, and repent humbly, and Jesus will touch them. So he makes it difficult. And he has invented a counterfeit of what the Spirit is. The Spirit's very simple, folks. It's within us. Living water can flow. But to the pagans, they have been taught by the enemy. No, it's not that simple. Because inside of themselves, they believe in chakras. And that's back to this word, chakras. And to them, chakras are major energy centers that are within the human body. And they believe that there are seven of them. And they start in the bosom and they go up to the chest cavity, to the solar plex, to the heart, to the throat. And then they believe the chakra goes up to the third eye and then to their crown. And in order for them to be rewarded and to find nirvana and to really be released of all the cares of life, they have to try real hard with meditation, and they have to start at the lower chakras. And as each one gets energized, they rise in their strength till finally it reaches the crown of their head And then apparently they find themselves full of energy and full of purpose. Now, these chakras that they are told exist in a human, according to them, these chakras get out of tune. According to them, chakras need to be adjusted. And so that's why they meditate. They meditate to try to be healed within in their chakras. And so they use the practice of sound to do this, to tune themselves. And they believe that they can tune all of their chakras during a meditation session. And if they do it correctly, it'll start low in their bosom and it'll slowly rise up. And get this, folks, they actually believe that as the energy begins to rise from their lower bosom, the energy is in the form of a serpent and it twists around their spine. And the twisting motion would be the way that you would see DNA twisting. It twists from their lower bosom up to the crown of their head. And if they do it correctly, the serpent will reach the top of their head and then they find themselves awakened with spontaneous energy. And we know that the serpent is Satan. Isn't it amazing, folks? Satan, who counterfeits himself as the angel of light, also reveals himself as his true form to his followers, a serpent. So this serpent that rises in the individuals that are meditating, trying to get their chakra in tune, the serpent is the Kundalini serpent. Kundalini means the coiled serpent power. Now, why am I bringing this up? Here's why, folks. Because many of these pagan Eastern occultic groups know about the Kundalini, they know about the chakra, and they participate in this satanic activity. And how many of you can remember several years ago when Todd Bentley was in Lakeland, Florida, we saw the manifestation of the Kundalini actually happening in those Christian services. Now, of course, they didn't call it the Kundalini. They didn't call it chakras. But that's what it was, because as Todd Bentley was laying hands on people, the individuals that he prayed for would fall on the ground and they would start wiggling like they were having an epileptic fit or like they were on fire. And the way that they were manifesting the quote-unquote anointing from Todd Bentley mirrored what we can see when individuals in the occult do the same thing. When they allow their chakra to be touched by the Kundalini serpent, they do the same thing. They start wiggling around and jerking around and having their epileptic fits. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, this Kundalini anointing has already invaded Christianity. Satan is at work trying to make his serpent anointing infect the entire world. He wants his serpent anointing to infect the church. And there are many individuals in the church who, because they don't know their Bible and they're spiritually illiterate, do not understand that this is a great deception and that the things that they are partaking of is extra biblical and it's not found in the Bible. If perchance you might be listening to this and you have partaken of the Todd Bentley anointing, I want to warn you, that thing is satanic. It's dangerous. It's an impartation of evil spirits. But that's another program. I've talked about that on other programs. You can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and find those other programs. But this serpent anointing of evil is one of the desires of Satan in the last days. The Bible tells us when the beast rises out of the sea, he was given power by the dragon. The dragon fueled the energy and the power and the authority for the end time empire to exist. Satan is the dragon. Satan is the serpent. So Satan wants to infect the whole world because he knows his time is short and he wants his Kundalini counterfeit anointing manifestation to infect as many people as he can. So that gets us back to the Olympic ceremony. The Kundalini transformation can open the gates within the spirits of individuals who are unsuspecting or who desire it. And when this Kundalini thing springs forth, and when the people feel the energy surge and it goes throughout their body and they vibrate and they buzz, what they are actually feeling are demonic spirits going through their body. It's Satan and his demons. It's very, very dangerous, folks. The Bible tells us to be very careful not to lay hands on other people or to let people lay hands on you. Transformation of this spirit can happen to people who have open doors and open gateways or who do not have their armor up. And as Christians, we have to always be mindful of the schemes of the enemy. And that's why I'm talking about this. Now, some individuals may say, Nathan, it was just a ceremony for athletes to have races. What's the big deal? You are blowing this out of proportion. Am I, folks? Really? Thus far, we have confirmed and validated that something very evil and spiritual was going on in the Olympic ceremony. So this Kundalini thing was part of what I believe was a spiritual contamination that was summoned at that ceremony. Now, some people may say, well, the people who get infected with the demonic, don't they have to receive it and don't they have to want it? Not necessarily, folks. Impartation can happen to individuals who are unsuspecting and who also have open gateways or allow themselves to have open portals within their soul. How does a person open the gateway to their will where they can be infected by demon spirits? Well, it can be done through counterfeit covert means. And get this, folks, it can be done through music. It can be done through sound. And folks, please know this. This counterfeit Kundalini chakra demonic ritual that I'm talking about is very, very powerful. The world has entered a dark phase where all the devils of hell have been summoned and allowed to wreak havoc on humanity. Many demon spirits are being reassigned to new places, new nations, new locations. A lot of those demons that were occupied in Haiti and in Africa and in other places of the world have been reassigned now to places in the West. Folks, I really, really believe this. The Holy Spirit has revealed that darkness is coming to America. Included in that darkness, folks, is the manifestation of demonic spirits and demonic activity. Therefore, we as Christians need to have our armor on, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. We have to have a hold of the Word of God, our sword, the sword of the Spirit. We have to have the verses ready to say, it is written, get behind me, Satan. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is written, the Lord is my shield. It is written, though the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Therefore, flee away, Satan. We need to learn the scripture, and we need to learn how to use it in warfare, boldly, with confidence, with faith. It says in Ephesians, therefore, doing everything to stand, stand therefore. Not with arms that are weak, not with feeble knees, but with strength and the power of God and the anointing of the Spirit, having the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. The bell was rung and the ceremony started. As it progressed, we then saw that hillside, that interesting looking knoll or hill with a tree on it. Did you folks see the pictures of that? What was that? Why did Danny Boyle bring in a hill? Well, there was a surface meaning of that hill, but even on the surface, it was very occultic because the name of the hill was called Glastonbury Tor. And that's two words. It's spelled G-L-A-S-T-O-N-B-U-R-Y. Glastonbury and then Tor, T-O-R. And Tor is, I believe, a Welsh or Celtic word for hill. So it means Glastonbury Hill. Now, Glastonbury Tor is an actual location that is found in Great Britain. It's a hill that exists. It's a little over 500 feet tall. And the history behind this hill goes back over 1,000 years, almost to the time of Jesus. And there are a lot of myths that are associated with it, but let me just give you the quick summary. Glastonbury Tor has been called a lot of different things, and it's been considered a lot of different things, but some of the things it's been called are Magic Mountain, a spiral castle, the land of the dead, Hades. It's been used as a druid initiation center, and a lot of the members of the occult believe that it has magnetic powers. It's an actual magnetic power point. It's used by many pagans and Wiccans and witches to hold celebrations. These legends and these stories are not from a long time ago. This location is being used even right now. It's considered one of the most powerful occultic locations in the world. The spiritual energy of dark forces that pagans seek after can be found at Glastonbury Tor. So as a result, it's a location that's a It's a focus of those that are on a pilgrimage throughout the world. Now, why is this place this mystical? For those of you that are not real familiar with the occultic and esoteric mystical locations found in Great Britain, usually the most popular location that comes to mind is Stonehenge. Most people have heard of Stonehenge. We've seen pictures of it. We know that the pagans love it. But this location is equally, if not even more, desirous than Stonehenge for a lot of these pagans. Why is this location so popular? Well, throughout its history, going back several thousand years, a lot of mystical events have happened on this hillside. And also, other structures have been built on it that no longer exist. But Glastonbury Tor has a maze of terraces that resemble a labyrinth, and it's a trail that resembles a serpent. If the labyrinth was unwound, it would be a serpent. Now, some of the individuals that really held this hill in high regard were the Druids of early England. And the Druids were the quote-unquote sorcerers, if you will, that existed in the days of old. They were part of the religious order. They were very powerful figures in the Celtic world. And they served as soothsayers and sages and magicians. They were healers. So the Druids in the days of old were very well respected because they were the sorcerers. So Glastonbury Tor, historically, has been a prized and very special location for those involved in the occult. So now I must ask, why did Danny Boyle recreate Glastonbury Tor in the Olympic Stadium, and why did he make it a part of the ceremony? Well, here's why, folks. Because Glastonbury Tor has some very strong enchanting powers. Glastonbury Tor is acknowledged as a location by the powers of darkness, by witches, by pagans, by the occult. Glastonbury Tor is a location in itself that represents everything that has to do with black magic and pagan sorcery. That's why he brought it in. Glastonbury Tor is also viewed as a gateway to the underworld. It's a gateway to the world of the dead. Now, if Glastonbury Tor is a gateway, and it's a known gateway and portal to the underworld, folks, think about this. It was brought into the Olympic Stadium. Was it used to invoke spirits? Was it, folks? Well, as I was studying the ceremony and how it was conducted, it appears that that's exactly what happened. It was used to invoke the spirit of the underworld. Now, if you're still taking notes, the name of the other world that exists under Glastonbury Tor has a name. It's called Anwen, A-N-N-W-N, Anwen. According to legend, Anwen was said to be accessible only through death. Or there was another way, through a single door that is accessible one day a year. And one of the chief treasures, supposedly according to the folklore, is that Anwen has a cauldron that's located under Glastonbury Tor in the other world. And this cauldron overflows with what they call an abundance of plenty. So now let's look at what we have. We have the ceremony starting with a bell, and then Glastonbury Tor is used as part of the props. So what does Glastonbury Tor represent? Is there anything else? Well, there are a lot of things that it represents. But another point of interest is this. And while this cannot be confirmed, and while this is not actually acknowledged by scientists and intellectuals, many individuals in the occult do believe that this is true, and this is what it is. In 1935, there was an individual named Catherine Maltwood. She was an occultist who was having a vision, and in her vision, she was looking down from up in the sky, and she saw where Glastonbury Tor is. And as she was able to see a large part of the countryside, she says and she claims she was able to see different figures of the zodiac. And according to astrologists, there are 12 zodiac figures. Some of you that remember this from the days of old, Taurus the bull, you have Aquarius, you have Libra, the fish. When Catherine Maltwood was looking down, she said that the farmland and the way that some of the parcels of property were cut and the way that some of the roads were going, and she said that she was able to see all 12 figures of the zodiac as part of the landscape around Glastonbury Tor. And she shared that with some other individuals who dismissed her. But then a little over 30 years later in 1969, another individual wrote about it in an article and interest was reignited. As a result, it is argued that the Glastonbury Zodiac does exist. And if one were to draw a 10-mile circle around that area, a perfect circle, that within the circle, you would be able to find all the animals of the zodiac in that area. Now, I don't know if I agree that they're just seeing something that's not there or they're playing around with the lines on a map, because I was wondering, well, can't you do this to any map? Can't you take a map and try to connect roads and create something? You know, it's kind of like looking at clouds and saying that you see an elephant and a seahorse and different things. Well, is that what they're doing with the landscape? But nevertheless, in spite of my unbelief, the pagan world does believe in this. And as a result, they call this zodiac that is located in that part of England the Glastonbury Giants. And here's what's interesting. The area where the Glastonbury Tor, the hillside, is located, right smack dab in the middle of Aquarius. And Aquarius, in this image that they drew, is represented by what they call a bird that's the phoenix bird. So when you're looking down on the map and you see where Glastonbury Tor is, they have found through some of the rivers and the creeks and some of the property lines and the fences and the roads what they believe is the zodiac figure Aquarius, but this figure is represented by the phoenix bird. Now, I don't know why the phoenix bird and Aquarius go together. I don't know why, but according to them, that's what they say is there. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The age of Aquarius is the new age that the occult believes is about to happen. We're leaving the age of Pisces, and the age of Aquarius is about to start. In fact, a lot of them believe it's this year. Coincidentally, on this Glastonbury Giant map of the zodiac, Glastonbury is located right in the middle of Aquarius. So the members of the occult and the pagans really find that a special thing. That's another reason that Glastonbury Tor is valued in their eyes. It's a special place to them. Now, here's the other thing. Glastonbury Tor is also found right in the middle of the phoenix bird. The wings are on each side of Glastonbury Tor, which also signifies and tells a very, very interesting story. Because the New Agers believe that in order to go into the New Age, destruction must first come to the earth. That may include war. It may include a lot of death, flames, destruction, carnage, and ashes. And according to the folklore of the phoenix rises from the ashes. Glastonbury Tor is right in the middle of the phoenix. Now, as I was researching this, folks, and I came across this information, I was thinking, that's kind of weird. That's kind of creepy. I don't know what to make of it. And then I was wondering to myself, does Danny Boyle know about this? Does he know what he did? Is that why he placed Glastonbury Tor? Because it's a portal. It's a gateway. It's right in the middle of Aquarius, the new age that is coming. It also is represented by the phoenix that's about to rise from the ashes. Did he know all of this? Or was he operating under the inspiration of Satan? How did this happen? I don't know, folks, but the Tor is very mystical. But out of most mystical locations on planet Earth, what a great opportunity for the Satanists and the occultists to really bring in an actual gateway portal to a ceremony. Now, folks, please know this. It is a portal. We cannot deny that. Glastonbury Tor is used by the Druids, the pagans, the occultists, as a portal. To the New Agers, demons are not known as demons. They believe that they're spirit guides, angelic helpers. Satan appears as the angel of light. So do the New Agers believe that if they brought Glastonbury Tor in, then they could have opened up the portal and all the nice, benevolent spirit guides who want to be used to usher in the New World Order would be released during that ceremony? Was that the intent, folks? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Glastonbury Tor, or a representation of it, was brought into the stadium, and by proxy, the gateway and the portal was opened to the world in a ceremony that billions of people watched to expose them to what was going to come out. It was to present an occultic invocation, a ritual to release spiritual forces, the ether of the underworld. Now, folks, if this thing happened, and I believe it did, during that ceremony when the bell was rung and when the door was open on Glastonbury Tor, the gateway was open, what sort of spiritual entities came through? And what's going to be the ramifications of this? What's going to be the end result of this? That's the big question I have. Now, based on what the world witnessed in that segment, something very, very profound happened in the spiritual realm. And this thing is not to be taken lightly, because what they did is going to have ramifications for the whole world. It's going to affect a lot of things. And up to this point, I've been explaining the background of the tour, but now let's examine this thing a little bit more closely. Now, I'm pretty sure in the natural, when most people hear those words, it sounds like X-Files, sci-fi, it sounds like hocus pocus, etc. But folks, this thing is real. We went from the beginning of the program, which had peaceful green pastures and farm life and animals and children playing. We went from that and quickly receded into the depths of darkness. Because as that segment ended and the Satanic Mills episode started, they sent very loud sounds to the entities that live below in the underworld, and they banged on hundreds of drums to awaken entities of the underworld. By the way, in the last program, we talked about Vulcan, we talked about Pandemonium, and we went into detail about that. But I made an error in some of the information that I brought forth, and it was this. When the Satanic Mills episode started, there was a band on the stage that started playing drums. And I stated in the last program that this band was called Pandemonium. Now get this, folks. The pagan band that was playing the song was not called Pandemonium. The symbolic undertones that I have been exposing even gets worse now. Because the name of the band that was playing was called Underworld, who was playing the song Pandemonium during the Satanic Mills segment. Now, in light of this new informational development, this is very profound because it confirms the mystical symbology even more with what happened during that event. Now, folks, watch this. To the unsuspecting person that was not paying attention during that part of the Olympic ceremony, there were things that happened that occurred right before their eyes that they may not have realized. And most likely, they did not realize it. And as I mentioned in the program, Pandemonium is the capital city of hell. And Tubal Cain / Vulcan / Mulciber was the architect / demon who designed and created this city for Satan. But in that old folkloric mystical narrative about Pandemonium, the residents of that city stayed down there and they lived there. But now, in this recent ceremony, I guess the New World Order has a different idea and plan for hell's creatures. Because, now folks, please hear what I'm about to say. And it's going to be a little spooky and disturbing, but this is going to be the new reality that we must all get prepared and geared up to face. And here it is. During the ceremony, when the peaceful pastors ended, between that segment and the Satanic Mills segment, the band started banging on drums. They were playing the devilish song, Pandemonium. And I've shared about that. I talked about that in the last program. And I watched this happen, folks. I watched it several times. I rewound it. I froze the screen on my computer. I saved and captured some of the images. And by the way, I plan to place this up on my notes and images page so that you can see what I'm talking about. But at that moment, when Pandemonium entered the stage, and it was the very beginning of the Satanic Mills, something very weird occurred, and here's what it was. Throughout the entire complex, hundreds and hundreds of people in the stadium appeared in all portions of the audience walkways. And when I say the audience walkways, I'm talking about where the audience sits, and they get up on the aisle and they walk back, and if they're going to the bathroom or to the restaurant to get some food. All of a sudden, in every one of those walkway openings, drummers walked out next to the audience. And these drummers were carrying these handheld tin-looking drums, and they started banging in the same rhythmic tone that the band on the stage was playing. And these people were banging the drums in the upper deck. They were doing it in the mezzanine and the lower deck. And they entered the stadium aisles as part of the ceremony. And they continued to play along with the band Underworld. Now, as I was watching them do this, I was noticing they were standing next to the audience members, and I was asking myself, why are they in the audience? These people are everywhere. And it was a grand display of drumming. To the unsuspecting person without spiritual discernment, they might have even said that it sounded kind of cool. As I was watching it, I was asking myself, why are they doing this? And immediately, my red flags were going up. And this is why they did it, folks. They did it as a point of contact with the audience. And they did it to give the audience exposure to them, to what they were doing in their ritual. They did it to ensure audience participation. They were immersed in the audience as they were playing. And as a result, they did it so that the audience would receive an impartation of the ritual, meaning that the audience became contaminated from the spiritual realm, so that this Luciferian spell / curse / invocation would be spread to all of the people that were in the audience. And those audience members came from every nation of the world. So as this invocation sludge was placed on the audience and be taken back home with them on the airplane, and it doesn't stop there, folks, because as the drummers pounded throughout the stadium, then something very weird happened. The oak tree that was on top of that hillside on Glastonbury Tor started to rise up. And as it rose up, the roots of the tree started becoming exposed, and I suppose they had some kind of mechanical device under the tree to lift it up. And as the tree lifted up, eventually it was about 8 or 9 feet higher than it was initially, and through the roots of the tree, a light turned on, and then men started coming out from the opening. So through the exposed roots of the oak tree, from the quote-unquote underworld, hundreds of men started walking through the roots and coming out. And they kept coming. And it wasn't just 10, 20, 50, 100. I believe that it was several hundred came out from under the tree. And as the men came out, they were also carrying the same kind of drums that the others in the audience had. And they were also pounding. They were pounding like an army of angry fire ants from an anthill that had been disturbed. They just kept on coming out. And they continued to participate and play along with Underworld's song of pandemonium. Now, if you did not listen to my program last week, to part 4, which goes into great detail about this, pandemonium is the capital city of hell, according to the occult. And all the demons of hell live there. It's part of the underworld. So when we look at what the meaning of pandemonium is, hell's capital, and then we see drummers coming out of a hole in the ground from under an oak tree that is known as a portal and a doorway to the underworld, to the spirit realm, then folks, it doesn't take a lot of interpretation to communicate what this event meant. So may I now officially say it, ladies and gentlemen? Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Because those escapee drummers that came out of the oak tree portal onto the Glastonbury Gateway, they represented the release of demon creatures and very evil spirits. And these things were loosed during the ceremony. And as they continued banging away, they stayed on top of Glastonbury Tor till it was full of people banging on drums. Now, if what I have just stated so far does not concern or bother you, perhaps this will. This segment of the ceremony was an event in itself, and it was an invocation that was going to affect the whole world. In fact, folks, I really, really believe this. It has already begun. This thing happened on July the 27th, and this thing has several occultic meanings and several occultic sinister mandates, and it reveals that world events are now in play. And these events are going to usher this world into a future of darkness, destruction, mayhem, and death. Why? Why am I saying that? Here's why, folks. Because during the ceremony, those things that came out, they were representation of entities that are not human. They were representative of creatures from the underworld. Or in other words, they represented demons, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and these creatures have assignments, very evil assignments and mandates. Folks, it doesn't stop there. Now watch this. The drums that they were pounding on also had several meanings. Number one, the first meaning was, we're here. Can you hear us? Or in other words, we, the spirit beings from the underworld. We're here. And how do you like the way that we sound? That was number one. Number two, we're planning on making some noise. Number three, the drums that they had, that they were pounding on, carried the sound of enchantments for the destruction of humanity. Now that one's bad, right, folks? Here's number four. The drums that they were banging on were also the sounds of the hammer of war that is coming upon this earth. Now, folks, please hear me. They were banging on the drums of war. Those were war drums. And like an angry beehive of spirits, these creatures are going to go worldwide and turn men's hearts into hatred, anger, and murder. This is why it's very serious. And these spirits are going to go out and infect whole groups of people to resort to violence and to resort to mayhem. And get this, folks, these entities are demonic evil spirits that are going to go out, and they're not going to make things nice. They're not going to bring organization to this world. They're going to go forth to possess people that have no barriers to evil. And they're going to use these people, humans, as their puppets to kill, steal, and destroy. And also, my friends, these principalities are also going to bring war to planet Earth. They're going to bring crazy war, evil war, wars that make no sense. War to bring tears and grief and sorrow to people that once thought that they were civilized. Ladies and gentlemen, on July the 27th, 2012, planet Earth was placed under a willing spell in that ceremony. Because since that event happened, folks, look where we are right now. The Middle East is in an uproar. The burning has begun worldwide and it's spreading. And my friends, please know this. It's only at the beginning stages. I cannot say this enough. Great evil has been loosed from below. Great evil has escaped from the bottle. And how does one place smoke back into the bottle once it's escaped? They can't. This problem is beyond a human remedy. This problem is beyond natural remedy. This situation cannot be defeated with guns and bullets. Now please think about what I'm saying right now. The zombie apocalypse that many people have entertained with the tone of casual make-believe and fiction, that thing is now upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been warning about the present judgment for years. We've spoken about it many times. If you're a regular listener, you know what I'm talking about. We've spoken about the fourfold judgment, famine, pestilence, the sword, and evil beasts. And I've warned about the darkness. I've had other guests on this program that talked about the darkness. God has shown many of you the coming darkness. But now, here's another announcement from the wall. The beast portion of the judgment, or in other words, the darkness and mayhem and pollution of evil spirits, has now received a huge 1 trillion cc evil steroid shot in the arm. And this booster shot was not a vaccination for the world. It was instead a lethal injection of evil darkness for the world. Now, folks, I know that sounds scary, but if you are not a little stirred about this recent development, you should be. Because this thing is going to destroy and kill people, folks. People who are not prepared and ready for it. And the sad part of this matter is most people have no clue that this thing is underway as I speak. Most Christians have no clue. In fact, most Christians do not even care. Because they're full of unbelief about the present timeline of events. Unfortunately, many are going to stumble and fall and end up cursing God and doubting God and wonder what happened. So ladies and gentlemen, what do we do? Do we stay petrified? Do we get scared and give up? Do we sign off and go back to sleep? No, no, no. Folks, step number one, we need to be awakened. We need to spend quality time with God. We need to repent, clean up our hearts and our souls and our minds. And we need to return to our first love. July the 27th, the Olympic ceremony brought a contamination, sludge, plague of evil spirits and demon creatures into this world. And that thing is going to be continual. It wasn't just a one-time event. After the Satanic Mills episode was finished, then they had the giant warlock creature, you know, the big giant Nephilim, antichrist-looking weird thing in the middle of the field. You folks saw that. And then they had the giant baby. Well, after the theatrical portion of the ceremony was over, then the parade started. And all the athletes of the world, one by one, came in. And as they walked in, they handed their flag. They were all carrying a flag from their nation. As they walked into the stadium, they passed the demonic Glastonbury Tor hillside, and they handed their flag to someone who placed it on the hill, and they stabbed it into the ground. And then the athletes continued in to the stadium. And one by one, as each nation came in, their flag ended up on the Tor. So by the end of the parade ceremony, all participating nations to the 2012 Olympics, 204 nations, had their flags on Glastonbury Tor. Now, folks, think about this. Because each nation of the world placed their flag on that Tor, and because just moments before, demons came out of that Tor and stood there with their new spell for the world. So you had an incantation brought to the hillside, and then you had world participants place their flag on the hillside. What we saw then happen was the transference and impartation for the whole world. Now, what this meant was the world by proxy placing their flags on there allowed a spiritual invisible event to occur where demon spirits and principalities were assigned to their prospective parts of earth with a mission. And what is that mission? That mission is to take the world into the next stage of divine events, into the next stage of coming events, into the next stage of God's judgment, into the next stage of darkness. And here's the conclusion, folks. Here we are in the middle of September 2012. In the introduction, I mentioned some of the mess that this world is in. This thing is going on right now. It is live and in action. The gears are in motion. The boat has left the harbor. And the evil spirits have left the building to infect the world. So here we are. War is now brewing in different parts of the world. Anger is now brewing in the Middle East. The spirit of darkness and hatred and murder has been summoned and released. And now we are witnessing a worldwide powder keg of a lit fuse. And it's going to result in a world gone mad. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns." As it was in Noah's time, folks. And if we read the narrative about Noah, we can go to Genesis chapter 6 and read some of the conditions of the world. We can read about the condition of men's hearts. We can read about the pollution to the bloodline of humanity with the Nephilim seed. There are several things to look at, but one of the things I want to bring to mind is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. And if you have your Bibles, can you turn there? Genesis 6, 11. Verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." So it was violent. In verse 12, "God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth." Flesh was corrupt. The deeds of man's hearts were evil continually and wicked. But in verse 11, it says, "The earth was filled with violence." Interesting word, huh, folks? Violence. And what happens with violence? If Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end," what does that tell us? It tells us that the earth was very violent then, and in the end of time, it's also going to be very violent. And when the earth is violent, what does that mean? That means that men's hearts are full of evil, and they are cruel, and they have the loss of compassion for their fellow man. It means that there is injustice towards the weak. It means that evil men cause injury to the victims of life. And folks, here we are in the time of the end. And unfortunately, being that we are in the time of the end and that we are going to witness this thing, that also means that we're going to witness the next chapter of the end of time, the next episode in the history of the timeline. And the final episode will involve. Now, folks, this is what we need to understand. This is the part that we cannot ignore. The final episode will involve the evil assembly of Satan crashing into the party of humankind. And they're going to barge in with their culinary appetite to devour the lives of men. And their arrival will not be diplomatic. It's going to be an invasion of dark forces and wickedness. Now, already we can see the arrival of these evil spirits in the Middle East. Because right now they're exploding. Folks, have you seen how people are acting over there? How the Muslims are enraged? They're so full of hatred and anger and violence. Now, according to the official story, an anti-Muslim movie was made by a man here in the United States. And because of that anti-Muslim movie, over in Libya and in Egypt and Yemen and all these other, Tunisia, all these other nations, they're freaked out with this level of anger. Folks, this makes no sense. I mean, come on. Are humans that decrepit that if one guy makes a video, you're going to freak out on the other side of the world and start burning down things? What sort of people do this? Well, as I stated earlier, the evil wickedness and the murderous evil demon spirits that have been loose are going to affect those that have no barriers to them. And right now we happen to be hearing about this event over in the Middle East, but that's just one category of anger and violence and evil on this earth, because this thing is going to strike all four corners of the globe. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me when I say this. The things happening in the world right now are not a coincidence. I find the timing very telling when we consider that the pagan ceremony has just finished. So what can we expect now? There's a lot of things that are coming, folks. Over the last several years of this ministry, God has given me many glimpses and prophetic dreams. If you're familiar with this ministry, you've heard them, but there's also others out there that have seen similar things. And if you're able to hear the voice of God, and if you have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, you know something's wrong with this world right now. And you know that the news is sanitized. And you know that we're only hearing lies from many of the talking heads on cable TV. They're ignoring all the big things that are happening. They're ignoring reality. And here's the sad part. You're also most likely aware that the pulpits of America and Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, they're wearing blinders that ignores reality. God's waking a lot of his children up because he wants you to know, my friend, that you got to get ready. You got to get prepared. You got to get your family ready. If you're the head of the house, you need to be doing some very responsible things right now. A lot of things are coming down the road, folks. This judgment train is just getting started. So what can we expect since we're talking about the drums of war and the angry mobs and the spirit of violence that has been loose? Let's talk about that. Now, there's a lot of different categories that this thing's going to play out in, but as far as the violent category, I expect to see cities in uproar. I expect to see a heart of violence become birthed in the hearts of men. I expect to see a plague of rage that's going to strike those who used to be civilized. I expect to see a plague of murderous behavior that's going to infect those who used to be courteous and open the door for you when you walked into the building. And this thing is going to happen in small town America. It's going to happen in the villages of Europe, and it's going to take place in the outback down under. And we are already witnessing this thing in the sands of the Middle East. So how do we prepare for this, folks? What do we do? Because it's already here. It's arriving. It's going to require great revival in our hearts. It's going to require praying and fasting. It's going to require last-minute prepping, getting food. And this program isn't about all the prepping ideas that you need to think about. But my purpose here, folks, is to light a fire under you so that you will see that something needs to be done. Now, some of you are going to possibly need to consider relocating, leaving the place that you live, because as this violence gets worse, there are going to be parts of cities in America that are going to be burning. I have seen American cities burning. I've seen it, folks, in prophetic visions. Many fires. It's going to happen all through the country and worldwide. So if you might be in the wrong neighborhood, perhaps you might think about moving somewhere else. Maybe outside of town, maybe to the edge of town, maybe more rural to the country. Folks, I don't know. This is something to seek God about. But please also know this. This thing is going to be worldwide. And the safest place to be is in the shelter of Psalms 91. Psalms 91, folks, dwelling in his secret place. Please remember, the Bible says that God's remnant will overcome. And that's our goal, folks, to be an overcomer, to him that overcomes. God has a promise. I think we need to be paying attention. And the fourth quarter of this year is going to start next month, the final quarter of 2012, October, November, December. And it looks like it's going to be a very interesting final 3 months of this year. Looks like I'm out of time, folks, so I'm going to have to end this program. This is going to be the end of part 5 of the Olympic Ceremony series. If you're enjoying this program and you want us to continue, please let me know. You can go to watchmenscry.com and send me an email in the contact link. Also, folks, please remember us in your prayers. God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Kingdom come, my kingdom come. The hour is drawing near. Let everyone obey these words that has the ear to hear. Let the kingdom come from deep within, and let me rule your heart and purge your life from everything that's been keeping us apart. Let the earth hear my voice. The time to decide is here. To decide to walk as a soldier. To decide not to live in fear. The sheep shall divide from the goats. The chaff shall be blown from the wheat. My people shall arise and become a strength. They will never give place to defeat. They will walk in unified faith, in power that shall conquer all. They will lay their lives on the line, but they shall not faint, and they shall not fall. My name shall be their name. They will walk behind the veil. The world shall know them by the love, and that love shall never fail. Become a tree, bearing fruit that you soon will harvest. Cover and the dead.